everyone. This morning's scripture reading, I just found out, is from Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. You will say on that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, and you comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say on that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray together. Lord our God, thank you for your word. May we indeed be now blessed by the message you have for us today. Thank you for the opportunity to come together in worship. Let us be here with joy in our hearts. And thank you for the community we belong to, community of faith, and specifically this community of faith, Community Church of Douglaston. I pray for everyone here today, as well as those who are not, those who might be online or watch this later, that you will truly speak to them and to their lives, as I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So in many ways, you know, we are blessed to have enough rain and water here in New York. Unlike South Africa, where I grew up, because of regular droughts in that part of the world, prayer meetings for rain are kind of like a common occurrence where people will gather together and pray that God will bless them with much needed rain. And one of the worst droughts happened in the Western Cape of South Africa in 2017 and 2018. Dam water levels reached a critical level of about 14 and 29% of capacity. And people started talking about day zero. And that was when the water level of the major dams supplying the city of Cape Town could fall below 13.5%. And so it led to a lot of talk about how to supply the people with water. And one way was to increase the capacity of the desalination plant, which makes water from the ocean potable, but that is very, very expensive. And the idea was even floated around of towing an iceberg all the way from Antarctica to South Africa in an effort to provide enough water for their needs. I'm not kidding you. Fortunately, as it turned out, day zero never came. If it did, Cape Town would have been the first major city in the world to run out of water. And so in September of 2018, dam levels rose to close to 70%, and good rains in 2020 effectively broke the drought when dam levels reached 95%. And so you see, we are always, always in need of water to survive. And one of the oldest and most common ways of finding water is to tap into underground sources of water. And that's what my best friend, my roommate from college, that's what he did during the drought in Cape Town. Not wanting to rely on the city to provide them with water, they decided to drill for water, not knowing whether it would be successful or not. So here's a short video clip of what actually happened.
Okay.
So those drilled holes can go more than 1,000 feet deep. And there's really much joy when water simply gushes out like that. But before drilling technology came along, wells were dug by hand, right? And that's what people did in ancient Israel. Wells were not only important, they were critical for survival. And since the beginning of history, people have gone to great lengths to tap into underground sources of water, digging wells by hand without the benefit of modern drill rigs. Now, more recently in rural Pakistan, for example, a group of villagers dug down 400 feet by hand before they tapped into an aquifer. And can you imagine that, digging 400 feet, a 400-foot well by hand? But it's everything to these desert-dwelling people. It makes a camel, or it takes a camel and a really long rope to draw the water out of such a deep well. While it's a slow process, every drop is precious. Now, you get the sense from Isaiah chapter 12 that the prophet knows a lot about digging deep and about the reward that awaits those who are willing to keep going down until they find a precious resource. And so Isaiah writes to people who dwell in the desert. But it's as much as a spiritual desert as it is a geographical one. Isaiah's people, the people of Judah, were destined for exile after years of turning their backs on God. And foreign invaders pounded on the walls of Jerusalem and would eventually conquer the nation, scattering the people of God around the nations of the ancient Near East. And yet Isaiah tells them in chapter 11 that there will be a remnant of people who will return home as a signal to the nations that God is still with them. And then the short chapter 12 that Vic just read is kind of a psalm or a hymn that summarizes the promises of God laid out to the people in the previous chapters. And it offers a short form of praise to God for the salvation of his people. And so Isaiah says in verse 3, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." It characterizes salvation as a well from which you can draw water. Water that saves, water that refreshes, water that cleans, water that strengthens God's people. It says, joyfully, you will pull up buckets of water from the wells of salvation. But given the deep sin of the nation, the people would need to dig deep in repentance in order to tap into God's healing water. But God's promise is that the water of salvation is available to all who seek it. Now, let me ask you this. Do you ever think much about where our water comes from these days? I mean, we just twist the tap, right? We don't think twice about the source. Many people in rural areas may still draw their water from a well. When we lived upstate in Orange County, we had a well, but we had an electric pump. And it's usually a well that is drilled by professionals. So few of us, if any, have felt the joy of a parched people who've labored for days or weeks or years to dig in dry earth and who finally find water deep in a hole. And so the point I'm making is this. It doesn't come easy, okay? And neither does drilling deep to find the wells of salvation. To get there is going to cost you some deep digging in the form of repentance and confession and transformation. Only when we dig away at those things, and with God's help, can we really experience the joy of what God has in store for us. And so I want us today to drill down a little further. Let's dig a little deeper, and let's see what we discover when we dig deep into God's salvation, because Isaiah gives us some clues. And the first thing we see is that we discover God's grace. Isaiah says that when we hit rock bottom, what we find first is God's grace. When you bottom out and you come to God with your sin and with your brokenness, when you confess your sins and turn away from them, then God turns away from anger and wrath, and instead he comforts us in the knowledge that we belong to him. Isaiah says, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away and you comforted me. It says you were angry, but your anger wasn't forever. You withdrew your anger and moved in and you comforted me. So you see, the amazing thing about God is that he's always ready to forgive us, no matter what we've done. When you confess your sins and you repent for it, it turns your eyes upward and you begin to look up and see the light from the deep hole of sin that you may have dug for yourself, and your relationship with God is restored. And so listen, every Sunday, you know, we have a general prayer of confession, and sometimes we pray those words without even thinking about them and what they mean. And we again prayed in unison today, this morning, but the question is, what do you need to personally and individually confess to God and repent for it? And what acts of reconciliation do you need to do? Because every Sunday we pray, God, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So who do you need to forgive in your life? To draw water of life from the wells of salvation, we need to drill deep into our brokenness. And when we do that, we will find opportunities to get right with God and experience the comfort of forgiveness. The second thing we find when we go deep into the well of God's salvation is God's strength. We discover God's strength. We find that God is trustworthy, that he will deliver us from fear, that God is the one who saves me, that he's the one who gives me strength. Isaiah says in verse 2, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. And so Isaiah says to his people that the exiles will one day know that God was with them all the time, no matter how bleak the circumstances might have looked. Now, the truth is, we all have our own fears that we struggle with. We all have our own battles that we fight. But did you know that one of the Bible's most oft-repeated phrases is, do not be afraid. Fear not. Some have pointed out that there are 365 verses in the Bible with the words, fear not. That's one for every day of the year. So you see, our salvation doesn't come from our own efforts. It's not something that simply happens by accident. It is God alone who saves us, who stands by us in His strength. And so when we trust in God and drill deep into His love, we find that He is our strength. And so we won't be afraid. Something else we find when we dig deeper into the wells of salvation is we discover a thankful heart. We dig up some deep gratitude. Twice in this passage, Isaiah puts words of thanksgiving into the mouths of God's exiled but returning people. Tells them in verse 1, "You will say on that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord." Verse 4, "And you will say on that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known His deeds amongst the nations, proclaim that His name is exalted." What should be our response? What should be our response to God's saving grace in our lives? Grumbling? Mumbling? Complaining? No, it should be thanksgiving. It should be appreciation. It should be gratefulness. So just for a moment, think about some of the things that God has done for you, that God has done for your children and for your family. Consider your blessings and remember them and be grateful. So first, say thank you to God. Thank Him from the bottom of your heart, and then be willing to make known what He has done in your heart and in your life. Tell others how thankful you are for God's grace, for His salvation, for His strength, for pulling you out of sin and into a new life. Spread the news of His reputation. And so we know Thanksgiving is just a few days away. So here's something you can do in your prayer life this Thanksgiving. So often our prayers are all about what we want, right? All we want God to do for us. God, please do this and please do that. How about instead of going straight to your needs in prayer, how about you first take time to thank God and express your gratitude for who He is, for what He has done for you and continues to do for you? Because when we spend time thanking God, we begin to realize that God has already been at work in us long before we even knew it. And God continues to drill into our hearts with love until we see the light of grace. And so we offer thanks to God because we know we could never have done for ourselves what God has done for us. And finally, together with thanksgiving, when we drill deep into God's salvation, we also find a reason for worship. We discover the joy of worship. Let me ask you this. When you think of worship, what are you thinking of? Do you think of worship as an event that you need to go to? Do you think of it as an obligation you have to endure, something you have to sit through here on Sunday mornings? The Message paraphrase of the Bible puts it like this in verses 5 and 6. It says, "Sing, praise songs to God. He's done it all. Let the whole earth know what He's done. Raise the roof. Sing your hearts out, O Zion, the greatest lives among you, the Holy of Israel." It says, raise the roof and shout and sing for joy. So it talks about the joy of worship. You know, we go to worship in an external way, but real worship is something that bubbles up from inside of us. Like when the water burst and gushed from that hole that they drilled in front of my friend's house in Cape Town. There's joy in worship that should bubble up from inside of us. Our baptism, right? Our baptism marks us as people who have found deep, deep water. And so we should come to worship each week anticipating the joy of being here in God's presence, the joy of being here together as God's people. And we should want to celebrate it here, but also every day. Our worship should reflect the joyous sounds of people who have hit a gusher of grace. And so Isaiah says, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Joyfully, you will pull up buckets of water from the wells of salvation. And so when we drill down and hit that aquifer of life-giving water, when we dig deep, what we discover is God's grace. What we discover is God's strength. And what we find is a thankful heart and the joy of worship. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, thank you for the wells of salvation. Thank you that we can go deep and draw from that well. We thank you for Christ, for salvation that is available through Him and faith in Him and you. May we all experience that salvation and find deep within us your grace and your strength. May we find joy. May we express that joy in worship together. And also when we leave from here. Thank you for blessing us. We are grateful for all your blessings. And we say thank you to you today. In the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.